You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In his picture of the last judgment of the world, Jesus Christ answered a question asked by people whom he himself called the righteous. "When did we see you as a stranger and welcomed you?" they asked. The judge of the world answered, "Amen, I say to you, to the extent to which you did this for one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me." It is a hard word. People prefer to walk around it. It comes from the one who is both the judge of the world and the savior of the world. Let there be no mistake about the judge of the world. St. Paul told the philosophers at Athens that God will judge the world by that one man whom he has ordained. The evidence of his ordination is that God raised him from the dead. The Lord God is a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. His Son, who came into the world so unobtrusively, so humbly, who died so disgracefully at the hands of the world, did not hesitate to call himself the Son of Man, the name the prophets gave to the Messiah, the coming King, whom God would send to bring justice to an unjust world. Jesus began his story of the last judgment with these words: "Whenever the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. There will be gathered in front of him all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. That will be the day all the great storms the world has ever seen and all the earthquakes that have devastated whole cities will pale into insignificance alongside the coming of the Son of Man in all his glory, surrounded by his holy angels, legion upon legion of them. That will be the day." Jesus himself said it in a matter-of-fact way. That will be the day. It will be a day of terror for those who never paid any attention to anyone except themselves. It will be a ghastly day for the unrighteous and the immoral, and it will be the same kind of day for all the self-righteous people of the world who never opened their hearts to anyone, including the living God, of whom the psalmist said, "Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor." One ray of light pours into the Lord's picture of the last judgment. It lights upon those who had a heart for the Lord. They were right at home with him in their life on earth, and much to their own great surprise, they will be right at home with him in all his glory. The Lord will say to them on that day, "You saw that I was a stranger, and you welcomed me home." Their question shows their surprise. "When did we see you as a stranger and welcomed you home?" The great King will answer them and say, "Amen, I say to you, to the extent to which you did this for one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me." Home, for many of us, is a good word. It brings back fond memories, just as it welcomes us to its warmth every day. I have to be away from home a lot, and it gives me a good feeling to think about the fact that in a few days I shall be back home. "Be it ever so humble," said John Howard Payne, "there's no place like home." How good it makes you feel when somebody tells you, "Make yourself at home." You feel comfortable in such a house. At the same time, it is never quite like the place you really call home. Home is where you are always accepted and welcome. Robert Frost once said, "Home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. The children don't have to ask whether they can come home. They just tell you that they're coming. They know they're welcome at any time. It's home." I'm sorry to say that the complexities of modern life, along with its disruptions and sometimes its diversions, rob modern homes of much of their hominess. Some homes are not homes at all. They're just houses with no real warmth and no feeling of welcome for members of the family, not to speak about strangers. They're simply way stations where people spend the night, not wishing to know the other people who live there, or even to become acquainted with them. There's a lot of unjustified romanticism about home, perhaps illustrated by that old song, which was said to be a favorite of Franklin D. Roosevelt, and often sung by someone when he came to visit a city, although I understand he was not at all in love with it, as some people thought. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. It's a peaceful place, this idealistic home, glorified in the song. With that home comes freedom, you notice, little discouragement, and no dark clouds on the horizon. It's far away, almost unattainable, and really pretty much a thing of the past, because the buffalo don't roam in many places anymore, and you'll have to go a long way to see the antelope play. Still, countless millions of people feel the force of the first words of that song, "Oh, give me a home." Many people do not feel at home where they are. They do not feel accepted and welcome. They're not surrounded by the familiar. And they do not know the freedom which can properly be called home. Then there are the homeless, whose number is growing all the time. Some have a roof over their heads, but that's about all. One writer describes such a home. This is the way we start the day, in a corner of hell, called home. In many homes, people scrap, fight, wage a running battle. In some homes, they abuse and molest. In other homes, family members don't enjoy each other. They just endure one another. A pastor tells me about a teenager who at present is living with his mother and her second husband. This boy doesn't want to stay with his mother any longer. His father, married for a third time, tells the boy that he can't move in with him. His grandmother says she is not able to have him either. Now that's home. Sometimes a man finds out for the first time what a home is really like when he marries a woman who was raised in a happy home. It can also happen the other way around. For the first time, a man discovers that home is a refuge, a retreat, and a refueling center. It's a happy place because love lives there. Love very often has a solid base in the faith people have in the God who created human life and redeemed that life from destruction. It takes a heap of living in a house to make it a home, said Edgar A. Guest. When living becomes loving, loving God and loving one another, Edgar Guest's statement comes true. A loving home is built by people who are patient and forgiving. They're willing to consider the feelings of others. They're loyal to one another. They work together and stick together in glad times and in sad times, also in bad times. Some people have a happy and loving home. Others have only a roof over their heads. Some don't have even that. One does not have to go to Calcutta to find homeless people. They're all over the world. You find them in the cities, and you find them in the countryside. They're looked upon as bums very often. People say they prefer to live that way. Maybe some of them are bums. But what if some are not? What if many of these people have nowhere to look except to people who have hearts? What if? There is no what if in our Lord's story of the Last Judgment. It's either yes or no. People rejected that day will ask the same question that is asked by the people who are accepted. When did we see you a stranger and did not welcome you to our home? Others will ask with the same surprise. When did we see you a stranger and did welcome you to our home? The great king will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, to the extent to which you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is telling this story and making his point. It's the same point he made in answer to a question of a lawyer, and who is my neighbor? The Lord told the story of the Good Samaritan and turned the whole question around with another question. Who was neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? The Samaritan outsider did what he could. The others did nothing. A complex world needs people with heart. A heart for God and a heart for one another. In so many areas, heart is needed. Raising and educating children, overcoming problems that cannot be solved simply with a wave of the hand, bringing communities together with helpfulness instead of hostility, doing for others when our natural disposition tells us to look out for ourselves first, doing exactly what St. Paul urged everyone who follows Jesus Christ to do. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. All is part of the new nature God gives with faith and love toward his Son, Jesus Christ. A new man or woman in Christ has a new nature, forgiven and forgiving. As Christ has forgiven you, so also do you. That is living in Christ. It's what our world needs. The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel needs to be brought to people. Believers in Christ are blessed when they hear the word of God and do it. Forgiving is just as much a part of life in Christ as listening or believing. A complex world creates complex problems which often cannot be solved by simplistic solutions. One thing is required: people who care, as they have come to know God who cares about them, as he has shown the world so graphically in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. The caring is important. Jesus says so. It's his word, making caring not only an attitude of mind, but an action, a body, soul, and spirit. It's personal, like the home he has prepared for those who love him and the day of his appearing. The terror is past for those who love the Lord. He says so, and he means it. Others tremble, just thinking about the day of judgment. Christ tells his people, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Redemption lives in the hearts of God's people. It is there, with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He is there to help when help is needed, to show hospitality where hospitality is needed, to provide shelter where shelter is needed, and to make people feel at home who do not know and may never have known what home really is. The gospel of Jesus Christ really works. Gospel people hear the word of God and keep it. They keep the word of God not to themselves, but in doing for others. When did we see you a stranger and welcomed you home, or naked and gave you clothes? When did we see you sick or in prison and we came to visit you? The great King will answer them and say, Amen, I say to you. The extent to which you did this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Amen.